twice and then go back in Genesis and start reading your Bible. Why? Because when you understand Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's the works of Jesus, what Jesus did while he was here, then you can really understand the rest of the Bible. Amen. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Such powerful, powerful stories of the life of Jesus. And it doesn't even record everything that Jesus did. Luke chapter 19, starting in verse 1. When you have it, say amen. Amen. Who's going to pledge to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Say amen. Amen. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Luke chapter 19. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans. And he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was of little stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up, saw him, and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at your house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Zacchaeus stood, said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore it to him fourfold. And this is not in my text, but I want to read this. And Jesus said unto him, This day salvation has come to your house. For as much as he is also a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which is lost. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, for the anointing that is upon your word. And God, I can't do this without you. God, I can't preach without you. I've got to have your help. I ask you today, God, to anoint these lips of clay that I can speak your word to your people today. And God will be sure to give you all praise, for it is in the wonderful, majestic name of Jesus that we pray. Amen and amen. As you are seated today, look at your neighbor and say, we're going to climb higher. I hope you bought your climbing gear today, because we're going to climb today. We're going to climb higher. We pick up this story where Jesus had just entered, was passing through Jericho. And here in Jericho, Jesus had previously healed blind Bartimaeus. So everyone in the city was trying to come out and catch a glimpse of Jesus. How many of you know when God shows up and begins to work, people are going to come out and check it out? Amen. When God begins to do miraculous things, it spikes the interest of people. And that is why it is so important that in any church that we let God be God and do what God wants to do, because when God shows up in a church and begins to move like he's moving at Life Church, amen, people are going to come and check it out. It draws people. People are drawn to when God is moving. That is why the enemy wants to fight so hard and say, well, you don't need to let God move like that. It might offend some folks. I've been told that before. You don't need to let things get out of hand because folks might be offended. Hey, let me tell you something. When you walk through the doors of a Pentecostal church, you should expect to see some Pentecost. Amen. Well, we are a Pentecostal denomination that believes in worshiping God, but we believe in having some church. Amen. And when folks walk through the doors, that's what they should expect. If you want to go to dead service, there'll probably be a funeral later on today. Woo. Amen. Now, Jesus had previously come through Jericho and healed blind Bartimaeus. And so there was a man in the city by the name of Zacchaeus. And we all have heard about Zacchaeus. If you went to children's church and you went to Sunday school and we sang a song, and I'm not going to sing it, but about Zacchaeus being a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see, you know. And we've all sung those songs, and we've taught them to our children, but I think many times we think that's all there is to this story. But I'm going to show you this morning that there is a powerful message within this story today. And in the city there was a man named Zacchaeus, and the Bible says that he was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Now, a publican was someone who was subcontracted out to collect taxes from the people. There were tax collectors and there were publicans. So Zacchaeus was the chief. He was the head honcho among the publicans, so he's the one that was subcontracted by all the tax collectors to go out and collect the money. In other words, Zacchaeus was the man that would knock on your door and say, pay up. He was like the hitman for the tax collectors. He was a subcontracted to go out and do the collecting, and he was the chief among them. A publican was contracted to collect taxes. It was disreputable for anyone to be their friend or associate. That is why the Bible said that when Jesus went to Zacchaeus' house, that folks began to murmur against him. Why? Because it was disreputable for you to hang out with them. In other words, people would talk about you when you hung out with somebody. And let me go ahead and stop right there and let you know that people are going to talk about you when you hang out with lost folks. People are going to talk about you when you get your hands dirty dealing with some folks. But just like Jesus, we got to not be worried about what folks say. Because Jesus was the Son of Almighty God, never did anything wrong, and they talked about him. So when folks talk about me, I just consider myself in good company. Amen. It was disreputable for anyone to hang out with them. You know, the Jewish customs had many things that were kind of hard for us to understand. They thought that it was the Samaritans were dogs, and they would travel for miles to go around the city of Samaria. And we know that Jesus said, I must needs go into Samaria. And there he met the woman at the well, which was the town prostitute. So we got to understand the Jews had some customs that maybe we don't understand, but according to their custom, it was disreputable. It would hurt your reputation. It was shameful for you to be seen with somebody like this. So the Bible says Zacchaeus was the chief among the publicans. In other words, he was the worst of the worst. In other words, Zacchaeus was the worst sinner that they could find. Let me move on. Society didn't accept Zacchaeus. He didn't have many friends. I don't think many people was happy to see Zacchaeus knock on their door. Oh, get the cake out, it's Zacchaeus. Somebody put some coffee on, it's Zacchaeus. No, they were like, hide the money. Take off your good clothes, put on some rags. It's Zacchaeus. So he didn't have many friends. And he had made a lot of mistakes, and I'm sure he had a lot of enemies. Basically, he was lost and had a past. How many of us in here today have a past? If you don't raise your hand, you're still struggling with lying. Everybody's got a past. But I thank God I don't live in my past. Because the Bible says, whoo, the old man is dead. And God's created a new man. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Amen. I don't live in the past anymore. Some of you need to quit worrying about your past. Start worrying about what God has for you. Forget the past. Begin to press forward to what God has for you. Are folks going to remember your past? Always, because they're folks. I've preached this for years, and I still believe it with all my heart. Nothing has changed about people except the clothes we wear and technology. People are still people. And guess what? People will always be people, and you cannot focus your life on what people do. All right, let me just go ahead and stop right here. Stop saying I can't go to church because I got hurt. Because then that means that your relationship with God is dependent upon people and not on God. Hello? Well, I can't go to church. I got hurt there. That's a cop-out. That's a cop-out. That's just an excuse because you don't want to get your behind up and go to church. Hello? Let me just go ahead and get rough for a minute, then we'll get back to the good. That's just because you don't want to get up and go to church. But when 7 o'clock comes around, you'll get up and go to that job. Hello? Why? Because you need that check. Let me tell you something. You need Jesus. Because life is but a vapor, but eternity is forever. So quit using the cop-out that I've been hurt in church. Well, I just don't like what they're doing in church. I don't come to church for anybody in here. I come to church for Jesus. Amen? And if folks can stop you from coming to church, is your relationship with folks or is it with God? Amen? Get on up out to bed. If you're watching online and you're going to send me a text, I'm sorry, we just couldn't make it today. Get out of bed and come to church. Because you don't miss the ball game. You don't miss going out to eat. You don't miss going to work. But we got every excuse under the book. Brother Austin told me one time, said a man said, I can't come to church. And he said, why? He said, because I don't have any peanut butter. And the response was, one excuse is as good as another. Hello? If all it takes is an excuse, got the devil will give you one. Hello? Don't shout me down while I'm preaching good. Basically, he was lost. But the Bible says he sought Jesus. But not just to see him. I want you to read that. It says he sought Jesus to see who he was. To see who he was. A lot of people want to seek Jesus, but do they really want to know Jesus? Let me help you right here. Knowing about Jesus will not get you to heaven. The scripture says, you believe in God? Great. So do the demons believe and tremble. Knowing about Jesus will not get you to heaven. There's a lot of people that sit on church pews every week and they know about Jesus, but they really don't know him. Only knowing him in a personal relationship is the only way to get to heaven. Accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior is the only way to get to heaven. Does that mean you got to be perfect? No, because he was perfect. It's not about what we did, it's about what he did. Amen. And his mercy and his grace covers all of our imperfections. Let me move on. He said, I want to see who Jesus was. You see, people that are lost today have seen a form of Jesus that people have stuck out there for years. They have seen people try to make Jesus into a program. They've seen people try to make Jesus into a ritual or a ceremony. And people have seen enough fakeness. Because there's enough fake in the world. They want to see something real. People are hunting something real. That's why I don't get up here as a pastor and try to pretend that I got it all together, because I don't. One thing you can expect from me is I'm going to be real. And I'm going to tell you that, hey, we're all, like our thing that plays before service, we're all broken pieces that God's putting us back together. We've all sinned, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But thanks be unto God. Through Jesus Christ, we've been redeemed. Amen. People have seen enough fake. They've seen the form of Jesus. Zacchaeus said, I don't want to just see this Jesus. I want to know him. I want to know him. And see, we can come to church week after week and clap our hands and, oh, we love you, Jesus, and oh, we love you, Jesus, and play patty cake with Jesus on Sunday, but still not know him. Still not know him in a personal relationship. If you only spoke to your spouse one time a week, how do you think your relationship would be? Don't look at me and say normal. And I'm not talking about speaking in the hallway where you walk by each other and go, I can't stand you. And the other one says, I hate you. Not talking about that. But if you only spoke to your spouse once a week for an hour, that relationship would be weak. There wouldn't be much depth to it. There wouldn't be much strength to it. So if the only time we ever talk to God or we read God's word or spend time praying is in church, our relationship with God is very weak. And that is why many times the devil comes and you're blowed around like a piece of straw in the wind, because you don't have nothing to hold you, and your relationship in life and in relationships with others and your relationship with God is like a roller coaster, because it's weak. Zacchaeus had heard all of them talk about Jesus and how he had healed the blind man, but it wasn't just enough for him to hear about what Jesus can do. He wanted to see him. And I'm going to say this, and I hope not to offend. It's not my intention. We have got to get past telling people stories of what God used to do and let them start seeing God do it now. And we have tried, amen. And for years, we have got up and testified and told things of what God used to do and hope that people would grasp hold of it, but yet we wonder why they come in and we lose them as quick as we get them. Because all we want them to build their foundation on is stories of what we experienced rather than what they experienced firsthand. People have got to experience something for themselves. Zacchaeus had heard, oh, Jesus healed a blind man. He's got to be the Messiah. Zacchaeus said, that sounds good, but I want to experience it myself. I don't know about you. I don't want to live off somebody else's relationship with God. I want to live off my relationship with God. I got to have my own personal relationship with God. Your relationship with God is good for you. But see, me and God have an understanding. I don't talk to God like some of you may talk to God. You may not talk to God the way that I talk to God. Me and God have an understanding. I don't speak to God in King James. I talk to God real. I'll go to God, and when I'm having issues in the church, I'll go to God and be like, you better get your kids. You better get your kids. If you don't want to see them very soon, you better get them. That's the way I talk to God. And then I'll look at God and be like, God, you better help me. God, you know. You know if they push that button, God, it's going to be home. I don't know how you talk to God. That's the way I talk to God. Your relationship, you've got to have that personal relationship with God. And God talks back to me the same way, like, boy, please. You over here whining and complaining because somebody hurt your feelings. I got beat on my back 39 times till my guts hang out. Shut up. Yes, Lord. Then you feel about that tall. When we're over here complaining because somebody hurt our feelings, we're over here complaining because things didn't work out like we wanted, we're over here complaining because we got some issues, and God looks down like, boy, please. Hello? Let me move on. The world has heard a lot of people talk about Jesus and talk about what Jesus has done and talk about what Jesus can do, but people are at the point, help you, church, people are at the point where they want to see it. People want to see it operational in your life. And I'm going to say this again, and I've been saying it a lot lately, but this is what God has on my heart for this time that we are in. If you have to run around and tell people you're a Christian, there's a problem. They should be able to see God working in your life without you ever saying a word. They should see the way you carry yourself. They should see the anointing coming off of you. I have people coming to me all the time that I don't even know, shake my hand and say, are you a minister of the gospel? And I say, I sure am. You want to come go to church with me? Well, people should see that living off your, coming off your life. And they say, you're a preacher. I don't look like a preacher. I'll be in a coming from the gym in shorts and a workout shirt and flip-flops, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ooh. Don't use that on me. You look like a preacher. I don't look like a preacher. About 95% of the time, I don't act like one. And my inner circle said, amen. I get text messages all the time in all capital letters with exclamation marks behind them that says, preacher! Carla's guilty. But people have seen so much going on, they want to see it. And Zacchaeus was at this point in his life where he said, I've heard about it, but I got to see it for myself. I've heard about it. You know, you can tell me a piece of pie is delicious all day long, but I won't know that it's delicious until I try it. That's why the Word of God tells us, taste and see that the Lord is good. In other words, try it for yourself. Don't go on what I tell you. Try it for yourself to see how good God really is. We must get to the point that we aren't just telling people about Jesus, but showing them the way to Jesus. Zacchaeus was seeking a revelation of Jesus, but he couldn't because of the press. That's what the Bible says. He couldn't because of the press. The press is a crowd or a crowded condition. Buckle your seatbelts. Here we go. Zacchaeus was seeking a revelation of Jesus, but people wouldn't get out of the way. This is where I want to preach to you. Zacchaeus was seeking to know more about God, but people was in the way. Let me help you right here. People will rob you of what God has for you if you let them. People will block you and the blessings from God if you let them. Amen. People would not get out of the way. There are times that God has wanted to move in churches, and we have had revival bounce from every church in Marion County, because when God gets ready to move and people start seeking after God, then folks get in the way and they shut it down and they block people from getting what God has for them. But I want to tell you right now, that's not going to happen at Life Church as long as I'm the pastor here, because God is in control and we are going to let God do what He wants to do inside this house. Amen. I refuse to let people get in the way. People come to me, well, they may not understand what's going on. Well, get in their Bible and read. They'll find out what God's doing. Amen. If you have questions about the way we worship, let me help you. And I'm not being ugly. If you have questions about the way we worship, if you have questions why we do the things we do, come see me. I would love to sit down and share some stuff with you. Amen. Don't leave not knowing what's going on. Zacchaeus was seeking a revelation of Jesus, but he couldn't because people wouldn't get out of the way. In other words, his vision was hindered by folks. His vision was hindered by people. Has God ever spoke something into your life, and then you start telling it to somebody, and they start telling you why you shouldn't? That's why you got to be very careful who you share your vision with. Because the enemy has people out there that he wants to use to discourage you from doing what God wants you to do. They will tell you why you shouldn't do this. They will tell you why you can't do this. They will tell you all the risk. But honey, if there's not risk involved, it's not faith. If there's not risk involved, it's not faith. And the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. That means you can come to church every week. You can be a member. You can read your Bible. You can pray. You can pay your tithes. You can do everything you know to do. But if you are not living by faith, you are not pleasing God. My God, we've got to live by faith and walk by faith. His vision was hindered by people. Oh, gosh, if I stopped doing what God wanted me to do every time somebody told me I couldn't, I would never do anything for God. I would never do anything for God. Because there's always going to be naysayers. You remember when Jesus was going to raise Jairus' daughter from the dead? And they said he came in and they were all crying. I don't have time to... Back in those days, they had another custom where they paid people to cry over you. It was professional mourners. Some of you are looking around like, I may have to pay folks to cry at my funeral. But they paid people to cry over them. Professional mourners. We still have those today. They don't get paid, but they whine about everything. And most of them is God's kids. And I'm running around going, you know, when somebody's kid is being bad, my kid was being bad in church one time. And I was like, whose kid is that? I ain't mine. You belong to your mama. But sometimes when folks act a fool, I'm like, God, whose kids is this? And God's like, oh, they ain't mine. Like, really, God? But they were professional mourners. And Jesus said, the little girl's not dead. She's only sleeping. And the Bible said they laughed him to scorn. But I love this next verse. It says, and when he put them out, it's okay to say, hey, if you ain't down with what God's fitting to do in my life, see ya. It's all right to put some people out. Some of you in this house today need to get anointed with goodbye. Why? Because there's always going to be somebody trying to hinder you. And if they are hindering what God is doing in your life, you need to say deuces and leave them in your life. And you say, well, they're my good friend. It don't matter. Woo! Peter was in Jesus' inner circle. But when Peter tried to hinder him, Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Peter, James, and John was, Jesus had 12 disciples, but he had three that was in his inner circle, Peter, James, and John. And Peter tried to hinder what God was doing in Jesus' life. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Hello? People hindered Zacchaeus' vision. So many people today are lost, and so many people are being destroyed by sin. And a lot of it is because people won't get out of the way. People won't get out of the way. You say, what do you mean by that, preacher? We don't want that kind in our church. Hello? We don't want a mixed congregation. Can I just be real? Before God delivered me from youth ministry, y'all get that later. Yes, when God lifted that burden off me, I was like, oh, thank you, Jesus. I was a youth pastor for 6 years. Oh, Lord Jesus. But I was at a church, and the youth group had blew up. You know, when you're doing what God wants you to do, growth always goes with you. Youth group blew up. We were having more in youth on Wednesday nights than they were having in the sanctuary. Youth group had blew up. Adults were like, I want to come to youth class. It was blowing up. Word was getting out, and we had a drama team that was B-A-D. Those kids were good. They were anointed. And some of them actually go to this church now. Raise your hand, Robbie. Amen. And it's pretty cool that I was his youth pastor all those years ago. I didn't. That's one I didn't mess up. But anyway, we had a drama team that was off the chains. And there was a church here in Columbia, predominantly African-American church. I don't believe in white church and black church. It's God's church. But some of them are predominantly white and some of them are predominantly African-American, which it shouldn't be that way. That's another topic of my soapbox. There's a predominantly African-American church said, we want your drama team to come and share a drama at our youth explosion. I was like, yeah. I said, we can do that. Went to the pastor of that church. And I said, man, we got invited to a youth explosion. I'll get the kids ready. I just need to make sure that it's all right. We'll get the permission slip signed and all that. And he's like, hold up. I said, what? He said, what kind of church is it? I said, I don't know. I guess it's a brick church, block church. Somebody asked me one time, where was I preaching at? And I said, it's a white church. And we got there. It was a predominantly African-American church. They said, I thought you said it was white. I said, it is painted white. You asked me what kind of church it was. It is painted white. But anyway, I said, it's a predominantly African-American church. He says, I don't think you need to go. I said, excuse me? Y'all know my mouth. I said, excuse me? He said, I don't think our church is ready for that yet. And I said, whoa. I said, I'm not trying to disrespect you. I said, but you'll stand in the pulpit and preach it, but when it comes down to it, you don't want to live it. It didn't go over well. And I ended up leaving that church. So, amen. And we wonder why so many folks are lost and dripping in sin and dying and going to hell every day. It's because people won't get out of the way. Just because you open your arms, to a world dripping in sin does not mean you condone it. But it means you open your arms just like Jesus did and say, come on home. And when folks fall in love with Jesus and get saved, then their life will start taking shape. Because you can't expect anything but sin from a sinner person. Hello? And stop getting your clothes all ruffled up because a sinner person sins. Amen? Some of you would die if you'd known some of the people I've counseled standing here in this sanctuary dropping F-bombs in the sanctuary. And I'm like, language, you're in God's house. But did I get appalled and throw them out? No. Why? Because what do I expect from a sinner person than sin? Hello? You say that happened in our church and you didn't throw them out. I sure didn't. And guess what? You won't either. Amen? Because we have got to reach the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? I ain't believing you, preacher. You better believe it. Let me move on. Y'all okay? Amen. Somebody told me when y'all don't say amen, y'all listening intently, so I'm going to take that. But people won't get out of the way. So they're placing all this stuff in front of people, expecting them to see Jesus. And folks are perishing and going to hell. So one of the reasons Zacchaeus could not see through the people because he was of little stature. And we sing the song, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, he was short. But I feel we miss what God's trying to reveal here. Stature not only deals with life in height, but it also deals with your standing in life. You know, there are people out there that a lot of folks don't think much of. Hello? There are people out there that may not think a lot of you. There's people out there that don't think a lot of me. I don't see why. Many people didn't think a whole lot of him. He would be the person that a lot of folks would reject and say, we don't want that kind in our church. Some of the greatest compliments I get as a pastor is when people come here and say, I didn't feel judged when I walked through the door. And I'm like, thank you, Jesus. God, help us to be a loving church. God, help us to always be the church that accepts people for who they are. Why? Because one day God accepted us for who we were. Dripping in our sin, life all messed up. And God reached down, amen. And there was some praying saint that said, I love you, baby. Let me tell you about Jesus. Amen. And everybody's not like that. Somebody was fussing at me the other day about something going on in church. And I made the statement. I said, if you're legalistic, you are not going to like Life Church and the direction that it is heading. Why? Because we're going to reach folks for Jesus Christ. Amen. I ain't worried about numbers. I ain't worried about reputation. I ain't worried about getting revivals. I'm worried about seeing folks get saved. And we want to open up our doors, see folks reach Jesus. Amen. Let me move on. I got to hurry this morning. So Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, but people was standing. So when Zacchaeus realized that people weren't going to get out of the way, he decided to do something about it. The first thing he did was he climbed up into a sycamore tree. In other words, his vision was hindered by people, so he climbed to a place above people. Do you know that there's a place that you can climb to in God where what they say don't bother you no more? With what they think don't bother you no more? Because you realize it's me and God. And I've climbed to a level that people's not going to hinder me no more. And what we need to do as a church and what we need to do as individuals is climb a little higher, go a little deeper in our walk with God, go a little deeper in our relationship with God to where you get to the point that people don't hinder you no more. People don't, what they think, what they say, don't hinder me no more. His vision was hindered by people, so he climbed. You see, if you ever want to go into the deep things of God, you got to get to a spiritual level above people. Let me tell you something. When you are a people pleaser, you'll never be a God pleaser. People pleasers cannot be God pleasers. I'm sorry. Why? That's why the Bible says, be wary when all men speak well of you. Why? Because if everybody likes you and everybody loves you, then you're a people pleaser. And if you're a people pleaser, you can't be a God pleaser. So when folks talk about you, you ought to shout. Why should I shout when they talk about me? Because that means you're doing something right. Amen. Just like us in here that's in law enforcement. If somebody don't complain on you, you're not doing it right. And our law enforcement people will understand that. Everybody else will be like, I don't know. We must realize that there's always going to be people, and they're always going to doubt. They're always going to criticize. They're always going to mock. But we've got to rise above that and say, who cares if you don't believe in what God's doing in my life? Because it didn't come from you. It came from God. My vision didn't come from man. It came from God. People were probably laughing at him. Look at Zacchaeus up in that tree. Man, you better be glad you don't come down here. You took my last 50 cents. You better be glad you're in a tree. People were talking about him. People were ridiculing him. Isn't it funny? Isn't it funny how folks that are content to be part of the crowd will talk about somebody that steps out and does something about it? You know, people give Peter a rough time. Yeah, he walked on the water. But he also sunk because of his unbelief, and Jesus had to save him. I'd rather be a wet water walker than a dry boat talker. Y'all can have that for free. I would rather be a wet water walker than a dry boat talker. In other words, I'll step out and do something for God even if I fall flat on my face, but at least I did something. Because there's always going to be somebody that's got an issue with what you do. And you got to rise above that. Are you getting where I'm going with this morning? They laughed at him. He didn't care what they said. He said, I got to see Jesus. But the Bible doesn't say that Jesus saw the people. The Bible says that when Jesus came by, he saw Zacchaeus. He saw somebody that was willing to climb up above everybody else for just a glimpse of Jesus, to know him. The second thing Zacchaeus did was he climbed up the tree in a place he knew Jesus would pass by. Position is vital. You've got to be in a place where you're going to have an encounter with God. That's why I just can't go to church anywhere. That's why I can't do certain things, go certain places. I've got to be in a place I know I'm going to have an encounter with God. I can't go to church. You know, there's some people that can go to church and it be just as dry as powder. And that's okay if that's your cup of tea. I'm not preaching against that. But I can't. Some people like country bluegrass. A little throw up just came up my mouth. I want to be in church like, yeah! But that's me. If you pass me in town in my Jeep, all the windows are down and the music is blaring, Michelle knows I'm home when she hears my music thumping as I come in the driveway. She's like, I knew you were out back. I heard your music. I'm like, yeah, let's get my praise on. Sometimes I got to revert back and listen to some old school 80s rock. Thank you, Maggie. Maybe me and you are here at church next week. Some of y'all don't always only listen to gospel. So let me move on. I'm not going to say what just popped in my mind. Thank you, Holy Ghost. So because Zacchaeus was positioned in the right place, he had rose up above people. And Jesus saw him and told him, come down, for today I must abide at your house. Jesus didn't say, I choose to abide at your house. He said, I must abide at your house. You see, when you climb to a level above people, God comes and wants to stay a while. When you get past what everybody thinks, you get past what everybody's saying, you get past all the naysayers, and you get to where you need to be with God, and it's just you and God, it'll change your life. It will change your life. I want to tell you, there's people in here today, I know your history, I know your past. But if you can rise up above what they think and what they say, and it's just me and God, it will change your life. Amen. Wesley, would you come? Jesus tells us right here how we can get him to move and stay in our lives. We got to climb higher. Now, there's four types, and I'm closing with this. There's four types or four levels that most Christians are at in their lives with God. Four levels, and I want to show you these right quick. Won't take but just a second. Ezekiel 47, 3 through 5, it says, "And when the man had the line in his hand, went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. He brought me through the waters, and they were to the ankles. Again he measured, brought me through the waters and to the knees. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through, and the waters were to the loins. And after he measured 1,000, it was a river that no one could pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed." Where most Christians are in their life today is in one of these four places. You're either ankle deep, your knee deep, your loins deep, or you're swimming. Four places. There's the ankle deep people. They have just enough of God to be miserable. Just enough of God to be miserable. What do you mean? They've experienced God, they know God, but they still holding on to this life. And it makes them miserable because they know what they need to be doing, but they're not strong enough to do it. They got just enough God to be miserable. They know what they need to be doing, but they're not willing to let go of everything. They want God, but they still want the things of this world. So they're torn. If that's you today, I want to tell you it's time to climb higher. Then there are those that the water is up to the knees. They are the ones that all they want to do is pray about everything. Praying is great and needful, but there comes a time you got to put some action to those prayers. Moses was praying for deliverance, and God opened the Red Sea. And God asked Moses the question, said, "Why are you still down praying about it? Get up and move forward." So there comes a time that we have to get up off our knees from praying about it and actually do it. Whew. Holy Ghost. There's some of you in here that God has laid something on your heart and you've been praying about it and praying about it and praying about it, and God sent me time to tell you by quit praying about it and get up and do it. Whew. Quit praying about it and get up and do it. Why are you still crying? And then there's people that is up to the loins. These are a little deeper than the knees. If you're in the knees, it's time to climb higher. Then there are people that it's up to the loins. Your loins is where your reproductive system is. A lot of people are right here. A lot of Christians are right here. They're up deep enough to their loins. In other words, they reproduce a lot of little mini-me's. In other words, we just keep reproducing people just like us. People that want to follow our rules. People that want to look like us, dress like us, and act like us. And that's where a lot of churches and a lot of Christians are today, is they want to produce replicas of themselves rather than replicas of God. Has anybody ever seen God? No. The Bible says no man can see God and live, so nobody knows what God looks like, or nobody knows what God dresses like. So that's why people say, "Well, I wear this so I want to look godly." How do you know what God looks like? Jesus said the greatest preacher that ever lived wore camel's hair. I don't suggest that. That would be hot and itchy, and Lord help you if it had fleas. We got to stop reproducing people just like us. What they fail to realize, we my children have the same blood type as me. We are producing many me's of ourselves, and thus we get churches full of people that go through the same rituals all the time. We've been doing it this way for 25 years. We've been doing it this way for 40 years, and you young whippersnappers aren't going to come in and change it. Hello? And we say, why? Because we are, that's as deep as we've ever went, is to produce people just like us. But then he said, I measured out another 1,000. And there was water deep enough to swim in. And he said, no one could cross it because the rivers were rose. Now, many of you know when the Pearl rises, the current gets real swift, and you're not fixing to swim across it. Why? Because if you jump in, you're at the mercy of the river. It takes you where it wants to take you. You can fight against it, but ultimately it's going to take you where it wants to go. And that is where a lot of Christians don't want to go. Because then we lose control, and we jump off in the water, and we have to say, Spirit, lead me. Like the song Ocean, Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you're going to take me, Lord. When we get into the waters that take us beyond our comfort zone, take us beyond what we can control. You step off into the deep of God. I don't want to be miserable in my walk. I don't want to just pray all the time. I want to see some results. I don't want to reproduce folks just like me. I want to show them Jesus and let the potter take them in his hands and mold them into what he wants them to be. I don't want to mold folks to be just like me. I want God to mold them into what he wants them to be. And I got to be okay with that. Every vase don't look the same, but it still serves the same purpose. Every container doesn't look the same, but it still serves the same purpose. Let God form it into what he wants it to be, and then let him fill it up. Because it's not what the container looks like, it's what's on the inside. That's what God told the prophet. He says, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on their heart. God looks at somebody's heart. Would you stand with me? You may say, well, you struck a nerve, preacher, at some of these levels, and I want to tell you, if you're not swimming, you need to climb higher. If you are swimming, you need to climb higher. Say, Lord, make the water even deeper. Make the current even stronger to take me to where you want me to go. We all need to climb higher. We all need to climb higher in our walk with God, higher in our relationship with God, deeper and deeper until we become totally submissive to what God wants for us. Oh, hallelujah. Would you bow your heads with me today? God, I have delivered my heart as best as I know how. God, I just asked you to help us all to take a self-evaluation of where we're at in our relationship with you. And God, that we rise up above all the distraction, we rise up above people to a place that you can lead us, to a place that we can see you and your plans for our lives. God, lead us as a church to climb a little higher, to go a little deeper. God, to seek after you more and more. God, help me as a pastor, God, to climb a little higher. God, to go deeper. God, I ask you now to minister to every person in here this morning. In Jesus' mighty name. The way I want us to do this morning, if you'll indulge me for just a moment, as our altar call today, I want everyone to come and get with your family And we pray together as families that as a family that we go deeper. We choose as a house. As Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Would you get with your families and come, and let's just pray together this morning. If you don't have family here, adopt a family. If you don't have family, come be part of mine. You know, I love family. God loves family. It's the first institution that God ever created was family. That's why the devil fights it so hard. So let me tell you something. You may fuss and fight, but family's got you. And family don't have to be blood. These folks that I know's got my back that ain't family. Not blood family. But just join hands with those family members. And in your own way, this is beautiful. This is beautiful. In your own way, I want you to pray and commit to God as a family that we're going to go higher. Let's just pray together. Father, God, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. God, I just asked you that you help us as a family to go higher. God, that you help us to seek you more. God, help us to rise above every distraction. God, that we can see what you have for us. God, we seek you today. We seek you. Come on, families, pray. Thank you, Lord, for family. Thank you, Lord, for family. Bless these families today, Lord. Bless families today, God. Hallelujah. Bless families today, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah.